This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. I have one of my old buddies on today, Jeff Jordan, a man who is well-versed in almost any type of subject we want to talk about. And we'll probably talk about some things that I want to talk about. We'll talk about some things he wants to talk about. And we may talk about some things that neither one of us want to talk about. But we want to let you know, and he's raring to go already, that this part of his show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. And when you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on to Ridgely Road. Well, Jeff, you know, there's been a lot of things going on in the last few days.
There really has been a lot.
It's hard to pinpoint anything, but as far as my career, one of the biggest things that's happened this morning was I was named the new head coach of UT football.
Well, we were down to either you or Dan Whittle, I think. Everybody else had been offered the job, and Dan evidently did not take it. So
I can't believe they selected me over him. It really does.
Well, I think it was a different Jones.
Actually. Oh, was it?
I believe so.
One of the Cincinnati boys?
I think so, yes.
Well, you know, isn't it funny how sports can just obliterate everything that's going on in the news? It takes a whole new meaning.
Yes, and that's bad.
Oh, is it?
I think so, yes. I think...
I was actually getting kind of depressed the last few days, to tell you the truth.
Well, I understand you want to coach, and so do I. You know, I clearly, that's something that needs to be done, but... you know, and I'm certainly glad it's over with, evidently, so UT can get back to the business of maybe winning football games, I hope.
You know, you're a man that's so multifaceted. You have your fingers in everything. Government, education, government, all types of government business, and in sports. How is it that you, as a person, set your priorities on the things that you focus the most on?
Well, Truman, I don't know.
That's a hard question.
Yeah, that's a hard question. Really, although I've, you know, been part-time in some capacity in sports for, I guess, over 30 years now.
As long as I can remember, almost.
It's really, and of course, before that, playing and coaching and teaching and all that kind of stuff. But that part of it really has been mostly just kind of part-time thing. Really, my real number one interest is probably government. And it's not because I'm a county official. It has been that way before that. I was always interested and remain so in politics. And for instance, I missed the Lady Raider game last night because I was at a school board meeting and was invited, and they discussed, among many other really very important topics, which, by the way, is absolutely covered in the Daily News Journal this morning with possible funding requests for next year for our school system. So, and then they had a lot of other things they had to discuss too. Some really difficult issues, really.
You know, in a job that's that you run for office and it's sectionalized into different districts, it's one of the more complicated and more difficult jobs is being a county commissioner. Because you have so many opinions that are coming down on top of you from people who don't have all the information that's going on a lot of times that will be affecting them directly. But yet you have some of your fellow commissioners who are going to have to go in different ways sometimes because you are representing districts. Is that a hard thing to...
It's very difficult sometimes. I think it's very tough for anybody that's in any elected office, regardless whether it be city council or school board or county commission or the governor or whoever it is, particularly if you have a good deal of information which indicates to you that the popular path to follow in some issue is likely wrong. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to stand up and make a decision that is not a popular decision. And if you do that enough times, you make enough people mad, you're not there to make the decisions anymore at all. So, yes, it can be very difficult, yes.
And it's almost like pork barrel sometimes would be on the national level. Somebody in one of the other districts really wants something bad for their own district, but you may have a problem with it, but yet you're wanting something
yes.
for your district. A lot of people don't understand. I remember some of the old movies about maybe when James Stewart became a congressman or senator
yeah.
or whatever it was, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. That is you run into that sometimes. And sometimes you may miff one of your compadres off on the court, and it takes a while to get that relationship back, doesn't it?
Sometimes it can, yes. I haven't had too much of a problem with that, I don't think. I may not know it, you know. I guess that's possible. I'll have to say this. There are 21 people that, of course, are elected on the county commission, and it's pretty generally 20. Well, I'll eliminate myself from this, but there are 20 friends, I think, mm-hmm. and 20 people that really put the county as their that's their number one priority. It's what they think is best for the county, and I think they serve honorably. I really do.
Yeah, I think everybody has the right intentions. Sometimes you can get a little off, and it's almost something like you've got blinders on, because every entity that comes before the county commission has special interests that they want to take care of, whether it would be in the judicial side or the law enforcement or education or roads or the admin parts. That's the most important thing to them when they come before you requesting funds to take care of special programs. And we have been hit so hard by growth. I hate to bring it up, so redundant, but growth has affected everything that we've done
it
over
does.
The last 20 years. And we're looking at, you've had to build schools at a tremendously fast pace, and yet we have all these other programs that in their own way is just as important as what's going on with the schools. How do you deal with that, and how are you able to respond? Say the judges are wanting something done with that judicial
building. Yes.
And it really is a hotbed out there.
It is. It's you can drive around square and figure yeah. that out for yourself, and you certainly know it from your years in law enforcement and as the head of the sheriff's department. It's a difficult thing. It's going to be probably if the judicial building is in fact ever built, it's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of a $50 million project,
yeah.
and we at least know, at least we think, where it will go, but and what will be in it, but as far as getting that done, we're probably not. I don't think we're any closer to it today than we were 10 years ago. It's still expensive. We still know where it's going to go. We still don't have the money, and the reason we don't is the funds are not there for whatever reason, and we've built schools. And we've taken care of a lot of other budget requests rather than that, and that's just one thing. I mean, mm-hmm. that is, it's a big thing, but that's just one thing. And you can only put these things on the back burner for so long. Is schools, you can't do that very long with schools, right. Because if you do, you're immediately overcrowded in a lot of places, and you're 2 years. If you're building a high school, you're 2 years away, so you're going to suffer for 2 years more, and. And in the meantime, you don't skip over something. Well, if you stop and say, well, we're going to fix Halls Hill Pike, which
right.
we finally did.
Right.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Yes, absolutely. And that was something that had been put on the back burner and shuffled off and forgotten about, and then it comes back the next year and that kind of thing. It's hard to decide where your dollars are going to go sometimes, and it can be pretty contentious when you do decide.
You know, you think about, and you just said, and I would have reiterated, that they know where it's probably going to go when they build it. And we're talking about the judicial building. But the truth of the matter is we're growing so fast and the numbers are skyrocketing that may not even end up being the place that
they
were building.
That's correct.
Because you're going to need more and more space, more area for people to come to that would be more receptive for them as far as maybe the traffic control and all of that. We're constantly seeing those things change. So you can't rush to judgment on any of those issues, can you? Because you've got to kind of sit back and see where the lay of the land is going to be when you have to actually make a determination.
You've got to be super cautious. There's no question about that. And I'll tell you a good example of that, Truman. They may call and get mad at me for saying this, but I'll go ahead anyway. That won't stop me. But the private business has the same problem as to where they're going to locate their business. And are they going to be willing to operate there, not for next year, but for the next 50 years? Mm-hmm. Well, I ask you, would SunTrust Bank, which of course has had two or three names, would they have torn down the James K. Polk Hotel and built that bank there if that was today?
No.
Absolutely not.
They wouldn't have.
They'd be out here on Northfield somewhere.
And I wish we still had James K. Polk Hotel.
Oh, I do too. But at the time, that looked like a great decision. And I guess it's been fine for now, up to fairly recently. But
what you're saying is quite interesting. It just went in my mind. We're actually, you've got progress and you've got history battling each other right
sometimes,
now.
Sometimes, you sure do.
Because you got the downtown area, which is one of the most historic areas in Rutherford County, and yet you've got all this demand for growth and area. And of course, you and I have seen it change so much where all the shopping centers are outside the area of the square and all of that. And many times you see government kind of taking place in the major cities. But sometimes you take all the things that are involved as far as when you start to grow. It's a planning nightmare because each one of them has an obstacle that runs into each other.
I had a mayor of another city ask me, small city, asked me recently. I don't know why he was talking to me, but anyway, he was. And
everybody wants to.
Anyway, I don't know if I gave him good advice or not, but he asked me. They were going through some real growing pains, and they could see some real problems coming up in the future. Down the road, and he asked me a question. Where should they start? Where should they put their emphasis and so forth? Of course, there's a lot of other people they could have asked other than me. And I said, well, first thing you need to do, and I don't want to get off on this morning, but you've kind of brought it up here. And I said, the first thing you need to do without question is take care of your zoning. Mm-hmm. I said, you have got to get that zoning because you're going to be living with it forever. And it's going to be hard to change and difficult to enforce. And you better look at that first. If you don't, you end up with all kinds of problems. And I think that's true here. I think it's true in Rutherford County. I think it's true just about everywhere. And the zoning and what you're going to allow to be built where and how big and how close to the road and all this kind of stuff is it can make you or break you. And look into the future and say, well, this road's not going to go anywhere. It's not going to be anything. We'll forget about this and we'll just allow them to do whatever they want to do. You better not. It won't work that way. I mean, you just look at Murfreesboro, how we've continually grown. The perimeter has grown and out and out and out. And it's a very difficult thing to look at.
People don't realize when they're making their choice for people who are going to decide what's going to happen with government, how important experience is. Now, once the growth started here in the early 1980s, I guess, was when it started to explode a little bit, we had never experienced anything close to that at all. And really, it was such a new thing. Had no idea what all the ramifications were going to be. And sometimes you think back, if we could have just had some people who had gone through those particular experiences, kind of pick their brain a little bit, maybe where in the world we need to go, because there's always people who have input for their own particular reasons in those type of situations. But when you have to put them all in place like a puzzle, you have to have some historical background to work on, almost.
I think so. And I think in general, and I'm almost sure you would agree with me, although we haven't discussed this in a while, but I think in general, Rutherford County and the city of Murfreesboro, and really Smyrna and Laverne and Eagleville as well,
right,
have been well led.
They have
In general,
right,
over the course of the last 30 or 40 years. Really, all of this growth and whatnot started in the early 60s, probably with Samsonite and the Swartz Ball and a couple of other plants
that came in to a degree.
And then it steadily started small, but then it steadily began to skyrocket. And I know, you know, when I was
kind of like the Grinch's heart.
When I was a kid in the summertime at MTSU, the enrollment was 2,000 people, you know, in the summertime. And there were mostly school teachers from all over the state, and some of them from Kentucky and other places. And now, I mean, look at it now, it's probably, I don't know what it is in the summer now, but I'm sure it's 15,000 to 18,000. It's over, well over 20 in the fall and spring. And anyway, you you look at the city of Murfreesboro and you realize that when I was a boy and when you were a boy, we were living here. Murfreesboro, I believe for decades, was the 11th largest metropolitan area in the state.
It bounced back 11 and 8.
That's exactly right. 11 and 8.
Yeah.
And I think maybe whenever they list, they issued new license plates, you know, that was always the first two numbers. And 11 was the popular number. Well, we're now 5. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not, but we may catch Chattanooga.
Oh, we're going to pass Chattanooga
in our lifetime. Certainly, maybe Hamilton County,
unless we get hit by a truck.
That's a pretty large metropolitan area right there. I mean, you know, the city of Murfreesboro is over 110,000. The county is 265,000. That's beginning to be real meaningful and getting hard to govern, and getting in the zoning. Which, when you and I were boys, you could go out here a lot of places and set off dynamite. You wouldn't bother a soul.
Yeah.
You know, and now.
Most wouldn't care.
No, it wouldn't, they, there's some dynamite. Yeah. They wouldn't care. But now.
Kill
of course,
a few fish.
Yeah. That's been done, I guess.
Yes.
But anyway, nowadays, of course, you do anything and you're bothering a neighbor. You're violating a zoning ordinance. You're doing something. So we've grown, and what you said earlier about the growth affecting everything, it absolutely does, and sometimes very positive ways and sometimes very negative ways. Certainly the negative ways: traffic, law enforcement, more people, you know. I'm sorry, but there's more crime, there's more of everything. You got more people to educate, you got a lot of other things that you've got to do,
and you have less time to spend with people.
That's true.
Quality time, I miss that.
I regret that, don't you?
Yes, in all areas, I regret that. The friendships and everything else. You know, you were talking about number 11. I remember when I was a kid, I was proud that we were 11th. You know, that's pretty good size.
Yeah.
And size meant a lot to you back then.
Yeah.
And then we went to 8. Oh, man, this is great. As kids, we're not thinking, what in the world is going to go on with all of this? And then I remember as we got to, what was it, 5 or whatever, they quit doing this by size.
They did.
I mean, you always knew which county it was from or whatever by the number.
Yeah, now they don't do that anymore. I remember I used to think as a boy, because I didn't really know, you know, I thought, well, where in the world is Jackson, Tennessee?
Yeah.
How can they be larger than us? You know, and now you go through Jackson, and it's just a little burg compared to us.
Yeah.
You know?
We're the borough now.
Yeah, we're the borough. That's right.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jeff Jordan.
Looking for the freshest ingredients for your holiday cooking? Search no further than the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Since 1975, the market has been serving Murfreesboro and helping connect local farmers with you, their customers. Our vendors are Tennessee farmers who grow and produce the food you buy at the market. The Rutherford County Farmers Market, where you can get to know your farmer and your neighbor. Come see us during our extended season held each Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. now through December 16th. We're located at the Lane Agri Park Community Center at 315 John R. Rice Boulevard. See you there!
Looking for a really smart gift for your child or grandchild this holiday? Something that won't break or need batteries? try the Tennessee Department of Treasury's new Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program. If you open a Tennessee Stars account with at least $50 by December 31st, 2012, you get a one-time $50 match from the state. Roll over your entire balance from another college savings plan and receive $100 in your Tennessee Stars account. To learn about the Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program, its investment objectives, risks, and costs, read the official statement available at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free 855-386-7827. Check with your home state to learn if it offers tax or other benefits for investing in its own 529 plan. Tennessee Stars is the holiday gift that keeps on giving for a lifetime. Visit www.tnstars.com or call toll-free 855-386-7827 and open your account today.
Don't know what to get that hunter or fisherman on your Christmas list? You need to stop by Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad.
Everybody we've got here hunts and fishes. We're not just a store that don't know what we're doing. We're located at 2204 Northwest Broad Street, right in front of International Paper.
Tennessee Radio Network News, I'm Kristen Thuburn. The University of Tennessee is expected to announce Butch Jones as its new head football coach, putting an end to a frustrating coaching search that's left many Volunteer fans frustrated. Jones has a 23-14 record as head coach of the University of Cincinnati and has led the Bearcats to back-to-back Big East titles. No information on contract terms have been released yet. We'll bring those to you as soon as they're available. A health warning on a new round of fungal infections.
Tennessee health officials are once again alerting patients who receive tainted steroid injections after finding that some have infections at the injection site that could lead to fungal meningitis. Since Thanksgiving, officials have identified 22 new cases of these localized infections.
TRN's Dan Idem. A Memphis man is Tennessee's latest millionaire. Bill Gano won $4.2 million playing the Missouri lottery but chose a lump sum payment of half the jackpot. The 51-year-old says he plans to use the money to take care of family obligations first. Then he'll try to invest some and help people who are less fortunate.
This is an advertisement, not valid in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. iLawsuit.com is an advertising group that represents lawyers advertising their services and is a free matching service for consumers. It is not a law firm or lawyer referral service.
Breaking news update for birth control users. It has been reported that an agreement has been reached to settle lawsuits filed on behalf of women who claim they were seriously injured by Yaz birth control pills. If you or a loved one has suffered a blood clot while using Yaz, Yasmin, B-Yaz, or Ocella, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Injuries include lung and leg blood clots, stroke, and even death. If you have used Yaz, Yasmin, B-Yaz, or Ocella and have been injured, time to file your claim is limited. Don't be a silent victim. Get the power of an attorney on your side. For more information and a free consultation, call 800-841-0280. Call now. You may be entitled to financial compensation. 800-841-0280. Call 800-841-0280. That's 800-841-0280.
The Tennessee Titans and Indianapolis Colts meet for the second time this season Sunday at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Titans lost to the Colts 19-13 in overtime at home back in Week 8, but linebacker Will Weatherspoon says they're feeling better about their chances. He says the first game they were trying to figure out rookie quarterback Andrew Luck.
First time meeting, you never know what he's going to be like in those game situations. You can kind of gauge it from the film, but really until you get on the field against him, you know, you never really know what it's going to be. So yeah, we have a little bit better feel of what kind of player he is and how his style of play is.
Tennessee's dropped two straight and four of its last five to fall to 4-8. Santa's helpers are already hard at work at FedEx's sorting facilities. FedEx is one of Tennessee's largest employers, and to help with the holiday shipping surge, some 20,000 seasonal employees have been brought in across the globe. I'm Kristen Thuburn, Tennessee Radio Network News.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
ProLift Systems is involved with all aspects of foundation repair. ProLift Systems 481-4735 has two decades of experience in residential and commercial construction and foundation repair in Murfreesboro and surrounding areas. ProLift Systems 481-4735. If you notice drywall cracks, doors and windows that are hard to open, cracks in mortar, or water in the crawl space, call ProLift Systems at 481-4735 for a free inspection and estimate.
Being an ethical business is the same as being an ethical person. Do the right thing. The same moral code of values and principles we base our decisions on should be the same used in business. Customers and businesses will always thrive in a marketplace that's based on honesty and trust. BBB members make a pledge to do the right thing. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
WeatherEye. See a slight chance for rain in our forecast later this afternoon with highs in the middle 60s. And there is a slight chance for some more showers or thunderstorms tonight with lows of 54. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 57.
We want to say congratulations to our birthday cake winner, Sydney Stansberry. She receives the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland. And the staff at PAWS here in Rutherford County, the Pet Adoption and Welfare Services Office, they received the flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. Someone wrote in to say they recently adopted a cat from PAWS and the staff went out of their way to help the family. So congrats to everyone at PAWS. Check Into Cash guarantees the lowest rate on title loans. If you have a loan with someone else, they'll help you buy it back. With their lowest rate guarantee, you'll save money. Get the most cash in time for the holidays. Hurry to Check Into Cash.
This is FM 100. The local conversation continues now on The Truman Show. Once again, here's Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Jeff Jordan. And we were talking earlier about your ancestors. And people, you think of Jordan or Jordan.
I told you we didn't want to do this. So now English. We're doing it.
I think of it being English. What do you think?
I've heard him called other things, too.
I have. Recently.
Jordan.
Yeah.
I can see the confusion.
Now, would you consider, Brian, would you consider that a, what nationality? Would that be French? Jordan?
Oui.
Oui. Give us a little bit of the background on that, Jeff.
Can I do something else before I do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I said earlier that I'm serious about this. The Daily News Journal that I disagree with probably 6 days out of seven.
Are they 7 days away?
Yeah, they are. They have a really interesting paper today. And one of the things in there is a really nice article about our the head man around here, Bart Walker, WGNS.
Yes.
It's in the Murfreesboro Magazine.
They do a great job.
Yeah, they
really do.
It's a great picture of Bart in there and some history of the station. And it's really quite informative. Now, what I was telling you earlier, and
but wait a minute, before we get off of Bart, I want to say that Bart Walker has done so much for this community because he's one of these people that really cares, and he will focus on the positive issues, and that's something that's really rare these days. And we're so fortunate and blessed to have him here, because his personality bleeds out to everybody in this community, and it does, a lot of times. Maybe when I come in here, I don't have the best attitude when I get to the radio station.
I'm stunned to hear that.
Yes, I know you would be. but after being around him, it just changes my whole perspective of what's going on. And if somebody like Bart can come to work every day with a great vision of what's going to be happening today, I'm going to buy on to it.
Well,
now let's go forward.
Okay. You were asking me about, and I did not know and do not know if there is no difference probably between Jordan or Jordan, just the pronunciation. And it's a long time name, goes back to Europe and England, Scotland, I believe. My sister who lives in Knoxville has traced the history of our family. Mm-hmm. And about all I knew about it was that it went back to Grundy County in the case of my mother's side. And
Grundy County? I never would have figured that.
My mother's side. And Perry County in the case of my father's side.
Huh.
And but she traced it all the way back to North Carolina and Virginia, which is not rare at all. A lot of people came through those two states.
Yeah.
And a lot of them settled in Tennessee and went right on to Texas, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty well-known historical thing from the 1800s that happened. But anyway, she traced them back to Europe, and it's a Scottish and French name. It used to have a U in it. I don't know when they dropped the U.
Hmm.
It used to be J-O-U-R. A very famous actor. You remember
Louis Jordan?
And he had kept the U, so he put the U back in his name. But at any rate, That's really about the extent of what I know.
Well, you know, two of my favorite commissioners are both either Jordan or Jordan. We've got you, of course, and then we have Will. And I believe you two pronounce your names different.
We do. Will pronounces his last name Jordan, and I'm honored to serve with him. And his, of course, his father was
a great guy.
Yeah, very well known here locally. Just passed away recently. A public servant of the highest quality, and so is Will.
You know, we've had so many things. We were talking about it earlier of the things that are going on in this community, and it's in a constant change. When you're voting on something such as school board issues, that you guys kind of almost deal with it in a part-time issue, because people don't understand that of course you have the school board that makes a lot of decisions that are going on with the schools financially or whatever. But you guys have the final say-so on a number of issues that are really very expensive issues, and yet you're having to deal with those that are non-school issues. Is it possible to, and how do you make your priorities on that particular issue? Because the school board is primarily, that's their responsibility is dealing with schools, but yet you've got all of these other things that you have to take care of. Is one of them more difficult than the other? Because you deal directly with both of them.
Well, the schools, land, building schools, and buying the land, building the schools, and financing them on a day-to-day basis, and paying the interest on the borrowed money, which is something nobody ever thinks about except us, mm-hmm. evidently, is about 80% of the budget. Mm-hmm. And cafeterias stand alone in that they have to break even. So, but if you include them, it's right at 80% of our entire local budget.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. It's and so that's where our emphasis is placed, I guess, and I know it is. It almost has to be. And I know everything that we do, everything government does, is important. It's all important. Mm-hmm. And when I think back of something that I'm immensely proud of, that I did have a little bit to do with this, and that's one thing you need to remember. I'm sitting here talking to you, but there's a staff and a mayor and 20 other commissioners and dozens of department heads, mm-hmm. and people that are involved in every decision that's made. But one thing that I am really proud of has got nothing to do with the schools and things we usually work with. It had to do with that old jail, mm-hmm. and getting rid of that thing and getting a juvenile detention area.
You're talking about on 400 West Main Street.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That would be at least clean and efficient and mm-hmm. safe and secure, and something that wasn't built in 1900s,
right.
And I mean early 1900s, I think 1906 or 7, something like that.
No, it doesn't go back that far.
It goes back pretty far.
Not that. You're talking about the one before it. See, there was another jail,
yeah.
on that same piece of property before that one, and actually I have pictures when they were tearing the old jail down.
That's
the big
correct.
Two-story one that was facing the post office.
You're right.
And actually, it was facing Front Street instead of West Main Street.
Well, it's now an empty lot, isn't it?
It's now an empty lot, but they were actually tearing that building down. And I have pictures. They were occupying the new one at the same time that they were tearing the other one down. It was a very difficult building plan that they did, but it was interesting. But it just shows you in the time for that period. That was a really pretty good jail. I mean, you had six cells on each side, adult males, but they all had four bunks in them in a very small area,
right.
and one commode.
Yeah.
And you didn't really have anything else beyond that. No air condition. And it was cold in the wintertime, extremely hot in the summertime, and you were sitting on top of each other. And can you imagine when it get 100 degrees up there in that place? The tempers were on edge all the time.
You're dealing with people that are mad anyway.
Yeah. And then, of course, the ladies were downstairs, and then the juveniles were across the hallway at the other end, and you had two bunks in each one of those, and those were male juveniles. So it was a different time. You had different standards, but I can tell you, security-wise, it was a little bit of a nightmare because it wasn't unusual to have situations arise that could put either the deputies or sometimes even the prisoners at risk.
Yeah, well, I'm very proud of what we have done there, and it's, like I say, it's not just me, and it's not just this commission. I'm not going to go back decades, but certainly Mayor Allen and Mayor Burgess and the last four or five commissions have, I think, tried to look forward and solve some problems on a long-term basis. And the workhouse, juvenile detention, and the new jail, which is probably going to be a funding issue very soon with some repairs that need to be done and maybe some additions. I'm proud of what we've had to do there, and we have had to do it because of growth. And I think we've improved the situation for everybody involved.
Yeah, and it's one of those situations like we talked about earlier. You had to mull through a lot of information before you're able to make those decisions. And it wasn't done on a 3 or 4 month. I mean, we're talking about years of study.
Right.
And that's what it takes. And the thing about it is, what we just mentioned, as you're studying, things are changing around you while it's going on.
Right.
And you're constantly having to keep up. And if you do not build for at least a 5 to 10 year future or more, you're constantly going to be building, and that's what, and you're having to deal with the school situation all the time. But yet, we think, well, we've got this new school here and this new school there, but we still have portables out there. It's you're spending a lot of money, but you're not overspending. In fact, some cases I feel like we're underspending when trying to keep up with the schools.
I think, too, maybe we kind of talked about this earlier, having people maybe that go back a little ways and can look at the changes. I mean, I used to hunt dove on Kaysen Lane, I mean, which was a country road. There wasn't a soul out there,
right?
You know. Mm-hmm. And it and now it's well, within just a few blocks of Scales Elementary and Kaysen Lane Elementary School, I mean, there's 20,000 people, mm-hmm. you know, and not far from that very spot. So the city's moving in that direction and moving in the Blackman direction, and that's probably where the next elementary school will likely go, I would say, out in that general area somewhere, and the city or the county one will build it. I don't know who, but that's going to happen. There's going to be some green space out there. There's going to be a city police department out there. That's growth. That's the way it is.
When you talk about the dynamics of, say, a county commission and the school board and things like that, I have seen it change. We used to have two county commissioners per district.
Right. Used to be 42. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Actually, we had more than that at one time. That's been a long time ago. But everybody was pretty much part time. When you're a county commissioner, you have a couple of meetings during the month, and you have the main meeting. And of course, it used to be quarterly, and now it's monthly. But all of these are major issues that require a great deal of study and information that is going on. And then you add that to the schools, in which you said was close to 80% of what the budget is. Would we be utilizing our people better, more judiciously, if we only had a school board that was responsible for the entire budget of the school system and let the county commissioners deal with all the other government factors that are involved? Because I have seen that in other states where they actually separate that in this You actually have school districts that are elected and appointed. Is that a viable situation here?
Truman, I'm not much for dodging questions. No. I just try to do the best I can with an answer. But I'm not going to dodge it, but I don't know.
I've never seen you dodge
it. Well, I'm not very
good. You'll answer it if you feel good with it.
Okay, yeah. I don't know. This has come up before. It's come up recently in discussion. Would we be better served? By we, I'm talking about the taxpayers, I guess, in general. They're the funding
but
people.
As a county commissioner, you know the tremendous amount of workload that's been put on you,
yes,
to make decisions and come up with those decisions when you're having to rely on, usually a lot of times, it's the head of whatever entity,
yes,
that it's needing it, because they're doing that on a weekly basis and giving you reports on what's going on.
Yes, and you're right about that. And I was, we want the school board to set the tax rate for the school portion of the budget,
mm-hmm,
and their own funding and their own priority list. First of all, you're right. It would take a huge load off the county commission.
Tremendous.
But would that be best for the county? I think, generally speaking, the answer to that would be no.
Mm-hmm.
It would not be, because the county commissioner is closer to the people than any other elected office. Closer than the city council, closer than a school board member represents about 40,000 people,
mm-hmm,
okay? A commissioner represents about 12,000.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, people want somebody to call. You know, they want somebody that they at least know that probably has been on their front porch, mm-hmm, at some point. Now, you are so right. Boy, this is such an important point you just made. As a county commissioner, at some level, I'm going to have to trust Superintendent Watson,
mm-hmm,
Superintendent Gill, Superintendent Director Odom,
mm-hmm,
and that they are going to tell me the truth, that when they come in with a school board recommendation, that they have studied this, and they're supposed to be the experts, and Don Odom is.
He is.
Absolutely.
Good as there has ever been.
Good as it, that's right. And so... And now he's got three new school board members who I'm sure are struggling, but catching up quick. And they have other people on that board that have been there two and three terms. So I've got to trust them to make good, sound, reasonable recommendations to us. And when that element of trust is lost, boy, it's hard to keep it, and it's hard to get it back. And last few years, I'm so fortunate, last few years we've done pretty good in that department,
yes,
with other department heads as well, including yourself.
Well, thank you very much. How come you're always throwing something at me during the meeting?
I don't think I did.
But all kidding aside, the school board, their budget is so much more complicated
than
the county commission's budget. There are so many. We're talking about federal. We're talking about state. We're talking about funds that come from every direction and all the things that are tied to those particular funds. It is the most complex. It's like trying to lay out a federal budget. It is that complex. And a lot of people think that, you know, there are so many people think that the money comes from right here in Rutherford County or this and that. They don't understand. I think it would be a great idea just to kind of block it all out and see where all the money comes, the percentages, and what in the world is tied down to you receiving those funds.
Well, that last part, of course, is... Well, you're right about it being complicated. It is an unbelievably complicated budget. I can't imagine what the federal budget must look like. But just our local budget, I mean, you know, it's 4 inches thick and it covers everything imaginable. But, of course, most of our money, most of our local money that supports education, and it is mostly local money, in terms of percentages at least, comes from the property tax and our share of the sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, they sure put a lot of ties on you as to how you can spend it, and then they'll make you sometimes do things that you don't really want to do necessarily, and you're not even sold that it's the right thing to do. But boy, if the state tells you, well, you'll either do it or you know, we'll just cut off your funding. You know, yes. We'll make you do it. I use this as an example.
Let's take a quick break, okay, and let's come back, because right. We want to touch on this some more. And we're going to be right back with Jeff Jordan, and we're going to be talking about some important issues.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Hey, fans, support your Blue Raiders as they hit the court for a big matchup with SEC foe Ole Miss tomorrow at 4 o'clock in Murphy Center. Head to the Borough and witness it all courtside. Tickets are just $10.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest. Beverly Barker, branch manager.
Southern Community Bank is a strong, independent community partner with a simple philosophy. Keep banking hassle-free for people who just want to be treated well.
We're unlike all the rest. Our services are intuitive. Our team is friendly. Our approach is refreshing. And our service is clearly unique.
We're located at 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to the DoubleTree Hotel.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? I'm State Farm Agent Andy Wama. Let me help you simplify and get you to a better state. By handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
I'm State Farm Agent Andy Wama. 890-0850.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Let Jeff Sowell's Family Restaurant prepare your deep-fried or smoked turkey for Christmas. 867-2164. Complete meals are prepared and ready for pickup when you need it. 867-2164.
All Sports Talk with Bonnie Hill and Tim Tackett at 2, followed by Sports Night with George Plaster at 3. Weekdays on WGNS, AM, FM, online. Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Jeff Jordan. This part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care, they provide top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, 713-4639. Online at homecaretennessee.com. That's 713-4639. Okay, Jeff Fro, we were talking about
taxes and taxes,
yes, sir.
Yeah, and how the state can,
and federal government.
Yeah, but it's mostly state can mess you up.
Yeah.
And this year, and I'm going to round off the figures here real quick, but the year that we're in right now, the school board requested and that would have been, at that time, Director Gill, the same budget we had last year, plus roughly $12 million. Mm-hmm. So on the surface, just looking at a piece of paper, you say, well, they're getting $12 million more than they got last year, which is true. And that's horrible. There's no reason for them to have that money. Okay, and then you look at a couple of things that are kind of important. First of all, we have 1,000 more students than we had the year before. Well, are we supposed to do that with less money or the same amount of money? I don't think that's even possible.
Right.
And the second part of this, of the 12 million, over 7 of it was because the state made us do various things that we had not put in our budget. And we had to do them. Absolutely had to do them. So if you look at it this way, and I think that's the proper way to look at it, the schools really didn't get that much more money.
Yeah,
they're doing the same thing that they did before.
Are the things that they make you do more advantageous toward doing things that are positive for the students? Are they more helpful to the teachers? How does that work into it?
In this case, and I should have said one other thing. A lot of this was some additional math courses that they were going to make us teach, and I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying that's what they made us do. So, and I believe it was about 16 additional teachers. And another large increase in there was something that is totally and completely, without question, out of control, and that's insurance cost.
Right.
And it affects Truman Jones, and it affects Jeff Jordan, and increased insurance cost, mostly health insurance and catastrophic insurance and life insurance, and it affects our employees and the county employees, and it affects our portion, the taxpayer portion of the budget, which is tied to insurance. And that went up, and I'm not talking about it went up, you know, $50 or $5 a person or anything like that. It went up to the tune of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
So I imagine we're facing that again. When you say we are, regardless of how you might feel about the Obamacare or anything like that, I think we're probably looking at that another increase.
Yeah, the costs just spiral all across the board.
It's out of control.
And then you think, you know, are we getting the best bang for our buck when we're talking about inside the classroom? And I was so impressed with Don Odom and the Rutherford County School System that they're really reaching out to the career ladders for to be able, in the high school setting, teach kids things that are more or probably closer to their aptitude and what their maybe careers are going to be. And is that something that maybe is going to level things off a little bit in the future as far as people going out, leaving high school, getting a career job that's going to last for the rest of their lives, something that they're really interested in rather than maybe in some respects wasting time, throwing monies away, making the high schools much more effective toward their future?
I don't think there's any question. And I believe that we are probably in the very beginning of where people are really starting to question the college education.
Right.
Not additional training after high school, and not saying you shouldn't go to college or anything like that, but the whole focus of what your education may be and the length of time that it's taken to get it and the overwhelming expense and debt that it's taken parents and students to actually get that education. I think we're at a point now where Motlow is becoming a very cost-effective option to a four-year university, which Truman, as you know, is for a large percentage of children, young people, it's not 4 years anymore. It takes them 5 or 6,
right?
Because they have to borrow money, they have to work, they have to save. That sort of thing. I think the average degree, I think, takes 5 years. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I think people are thinking, well, how can I shorten that to 3? And high schools, local education departments, are looking at, well, what what can we offer in our schools to further a person's career in some other area other than the traditional courses that people are forced to take and made to take. And I think we're starting to look at that. Stewart's Creek will be a good example of that, this new high school that's coming on. I mean, I don't have the list of what's offered there, but it's extensive.
Yeah, it's something that you and I have seen, especially over the last 15 years, where people have gone out and gotten their degrees. And a lot of times they end up in careers that don't match the curriculum that they have taken at the university. And then you think back, you know, was this the right trip to take during that particular time?
Right. And a lot of people don't at MTSU, I know a number of years when I was there, and I know that's been a long time ago. I haven't been to college now since the 80s. 1980, I guess, was the last year I took any college courses. But the largest major was undeclared, without question. And if you ask people, well, today, a lot of them are in business education, which is very diversified. You know, that was smart. They're looking at something that maybe could lead them in a lot of directions after they get that diploma. It's changing.
Even you say if you're going into law enforcement, and you can get degrees in criminal justice, but when you look at it at the higher levels, and we're talking about the FBI and things like that, they're not really looking for that. They're looking for people who go in the languages and the science and things like that, because things seem to be moving more towards specialization anymore. I mean, the computer system, there's no telling where that's going to go, because you know that changes almost monthly. But it's one of those areas that in a lot of ways, if you get a good basic on your career education in high school, a lot of these businesses that you will go into will actually pay for your continuing education in those particular fields if you have the aptitude for it.
And we're absolutely, I'm glad you brought that up, we're absolutely going to see that, I think, starting, it's already started really. We're going to see businesses, and it could be a bunch of businesses, but I'll mention Nissan because it's our largest one, but we've got a lot of them. State Farm would be another. Mm-hmm. They're going to be taking a more and more active role in training people and in helping people go to college, and in some instances, high school too, and what's offered there. I don't think there's any question business is going to take a much more active role than they've taken in the past. And frankly, Truman, it's to their best interest to do so, which is why they do it. I mean, all they're interested in basically is the bottom line, right? Making a profit, or they wouldn't be in business. And from my way of looking at it, they wouldn't be paying taxes either. So they want trained employees. And, boy, that's where Rutherford County is, I think, way out in front of a lot of these other counties and cities. Murfreesboro, with MTSU being here and our excellent city system, which starting with the pre-K and going all the way through our county system, and of course the city cuts off at sixth grade, I think we're doing great in that area.
Don't you think that's going to be kind of like a magnet for Rutherford County,
where
the schools are focusing more on the career and particular job skills? I mean, if I was going to bring a big business in here, I mean, look at Amazon and some of the other. It's interesting to me when they let out at Amazon, you think they just started building on that thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like a parade for an hour, I mean, coming out of there. Just think of all the jobs that were created there in that one place.
Right. I've talked to a number of different people over the years about this very thing, but Bob Lamb comes to mind. But I talked with last year about this very thing, I think on the air, matter of fact, part of it was. But we've talked about why people will select a certain community to move their business into, or why anybody would actually move here to Murfreesboro and not move to, Ray County or Chattanooga somewhere. And there's a lot of things people look at. There's probably a list of about 20, but they're interested in, for instance, such things as, well, are there places to shop? Are there good places to shop nearby? What about their sports team and their entertainment and their arts and their libraries? Their fire insurance rates mm-hmm. in general, highways, traffic, you can name it, name and name and name. But the number one thing they look at is schools. Is higher education available? How are their high schools? How are their elementary schools? Do they have enough of them? Are they overcrowded? Were they built in 1920 or are they, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of thing? What are their test scores? All of that. And of course, another there are a lot of other things that they look at, obviously, the whole quality of life issues, mm-hmm. including. And this is another place where I think we are and government surely had nothing to do with this, and that is religious opportunities.
Right.
Are there in my church there? Mm-hmm. You know, that sort of thing is very important to people, and it should be. And it's where they're going to raise their children. Might not be all important to me, maybe, me personally, but although it would be. But, you know, if I'm going to raise my children now there, that's another thing again. I want to know where they're going to go to school and where they're going to go to church. And crime rate, as you and I both know, is a critical thing.
But as you know, economy drives everything.
It does.
And one of the things, you and I probably were on the right page. I remember when NAFTA was developed here in this country, I was totally blown away and still not happy with it. I think we've seen a lot of the negative effects that's
yes.
going on that. But what the you guys in government do, and especially in the schools and things like that, I think we're driving more toward quality of what's going on in our big, large companies and things like that. And hopefully we're going to do something to stem the tide of all our business going outside the United States. And for one way, maybe we can start paying for some of this growth. I mean, people, we need money inside these cities and these counties. We need productive citizens. We need them going out and paying taxes and buying their dream homes and all the other things. And we need to get back that. We lost it a few years ago, and I'm ready for it to come back.
I am, too. And I'll have to say this, too. If you just travel around just the mid-state, and you don't have to go far from the Rutherford County Courthouse to do this,
right?
And you just drive around other public squares, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to mention anybody. Just do
right.
it, and you will see a tremendous difference between many fine communities full of fine people, mm-hmm. and this one. And that's why I said earlier, and you kind of echoed it, that we have been probably, I think, had pretty good leaders in a lot of different positions over the last, probably the last century. But
we got a lot of common sense in this community, don't we?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what it takes. And love of the community. And speaking of history, next Monday morning, we're going to have Hudley Crockett on. And anybody that's been around this state any length of time has to remember Hudley Crockett and what he meant to this state. So, 9:00 next Monday morning, Mr. Hudley Crockett.